to be here, to be a part of this fellowship, that whether these guys know it or not, I believe that we are sister churches here. And Lord, of all the churches in Humboldt County, this is the one church that has contributed in a tangible way to the work at the embassy. And so for that, I am always grateful. And I remember this fellowship, and I thank you for that and for the privilege of being here with these people, Lord. And we invite your Holy Spirit to come. You are the teacher. You are the teacher. You've anointed some to speak, and you've anointed some all to hear. So, but we acknowledge that you are the teacher here that we're going to learn from and receive revelation from this morning. So, Lord, would you teach us? Would you open up my mouth? Would you open up our ears to what the Spirit would say to the churches? In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Is it possible to get some water? I poured some water, and in the flurry of running back and forth, thank you. All right, well, praise God. So yeah, we did have some technical difficulties getting this PowerPoint up, and it would be much more difficult to do this without PowerPoint. And I don't have one of these when I speak. Can I do this? Because I feel like trapped. Sometimes I reach out and I grab people and I pull them up. Nah, won't do that. All right, praise God. So this morning we've been talking at our fellowship. We've been doing this series called Yeshua's Report Card to His Churches, or the Seven Churches in Revelation. And thank you so much. And so as I thought, okay, what am I going to share? It would be easy to just kind of duplicate what we're going to talk about tonight within the series. But what I felt in my heart to do was just to kind of summarize this series for you this morning. And I don't know about you, but for me, just as all introduction, where my heart is with this, is I live my life in light of the day when I'm going to stand before Him when He comes. And He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," to those servants who have done well. You think everyone's going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? By the time we're done this morning, you'll know that not all are going to hear "well done." And I want to hear "well done." Amen? I want to believe everything that Christ said in His Word. And I find that there are doctrines and there are teachings and there are movements that take part of what's in the Word, and they'll make those their pet doctrines, and they'll hang out there, and they neglect a lot of other things that the Lord has said. I want to believe everything that He said. Amen? So when He holds out, like for example, you know, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. You know, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Blessed are those who have given up houses and, you know, for the kingdom, for they will receive. Do we believe that? Or are we still storing up treasures on earth? I mean, really, honestly, I'm not trying to convict anybody, but really ponder for a moment how much of what we store in our garage and in our whatever the storage unit is that we pack more stuff in our curio cabinet and our extra house over there and our extra car that we polish and drive once every month or don't touch it. How much of that stuff do we have still that we aren't investing in the kingdom? And I'm not taking an offering, so don't think I'm after your money. I'm saying the day's going to come where we're going to stand before the Lord, and these are real things that are going to come up. The stuff that we've saved and stored and our 401k and the things we put our hope in are all going to be tried. And I guarantee you, we will regret that which we did not invest in the kingdom of our time, our talent, and our treasure. We will regret it. Guaranteed. So I think of these things. I think of this very short life that we have compared to the millennial reign that we have been invited to rule and reign with Him in. And then even beyond that, when there's a new heaven and a new earth and the new Jerusalem comes down, there's just a little glimpse, but there are promises even in there. I live for that. Amen? I was young and now I'm old. Now, some of you are older than me, but I'm telling you, yesterday, how old are you? 29. Young. 20. I mean, she's like a little embarrassed. 29. I wish I was 29. Praise God. 29 was a fine year for me. I had a lot less of this going on and a whole lot more of that. But yesterday I was 29 and then I woke up and I'm 47. Is that true? I mean, this life is short, man. So the sooner we get a hold of the fact that this life is short, and really, we're in training. This is all in preparation for that next time that we're going to really spend with the Lord. Okay, so these are the kinds of things I think about. And so you can't get any more New Testament. You can't get any more. What is the heart of God? You can't get any more of who is Jesus than Revelation, right? Amen. So I think that when I put out this title, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua's report card to his church, I believe that we're either doing well or we're not doing well in certain areas of our life. That's what repentance comes in. We're not doing well, so we repent, we correct our course, and we do what is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're all trying to find out his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? Am I in the right church? Woo! Praise God. So so here we have Christ speaking to these seven churches, and we can't get that deep. Really, we're going to just blaze through some stuff, and I'll invite you to do this. All of these teachings are online. We've taught for 16 weeks, and I'm a long-winded guy, so you got at least 20 weeks worth of material there. And they're free. You can download it, or you can open up your word with a very fresh perspective and say, Lord, would you speak to me in light of this? How many people think that these letters to the seven churches, which we're going to touch on soon, are more than just some historical thing that we look at and go, oh, isn't it interesting, what was going on? How many people think that that what he said to them would have a very practical application in our life here today? Amen. Every single letter. I say what applies, take it, because it's truth. He's not going to lay out a truth over here that's different than a truth over there. Each church, he spoke and addressed certain things, some more than once. But in all of these things, let's look, let's have ears to hear. And if anything applies that would either inspire us to more of what he approves of, or encourage us to turn from that which is displeasing to him, let's take it and run with it, amen? Because the same standard is going to apply to all of us. The other thing I want to point out is that this church here has a place. It has a call of God. And I just want to encourage us all to continually, as a church, we are a body here, a body. We're members of it. So there's an aspect of all of this that is personal, applies to us in our own world, but then there's aspects of it that also apply to us as a church. I want to encourage you as a church that church is not a spectator sport. Amen? Church is not a spectator. We are all members. We are all ministers, as we will look at, and we're all called to contribute to this thing. I don't allow any of my children to be lazy in my house. They all have to contribute, and we're training them. But they all have to contribute, from little Kira to pick up your stuff. And she wants to help. She's still at that stage where helping is fun and it's like a game. It hasn't transitioned into real work yet. For the other kids where it's real, she's three. For all the other kids that are progressively older, it's like, oh, man. You know, some of my kids are getting it. You know, they're excited. Oh, yeah, Dad, I'll help. Oh, Mom, yeah, sure. Like, is that enough? More? Oh, no, I'm done. Okay, great. That's a lie. We get glimpses of that from Tyler. Man, eventually I'm going to get into this. We got a lot of slides, man. We better hurry up. but I want to encourage us first that he is speaking to assemblies of people. And I want to encourage us, receive what you can personally, because there is a personal application. But think in terms of what God, if God has placed you here, who believes? If you're coming here because you live next door, you're coming here for the wrong reason. If you're coming here because you like brown chairs or you like cozy chairs and they're softer here than across the street, they got a better children's program, you like Carrie's preaching. If you're coming here for any of those reasons, you're coming here for the wrong reason. If you're coming here because you've prayed and you've sought the Lord, and He says, this is where I have placed you to build up my body and to serve me and to be a part of what I'm doing in the earth, then you're here for the right reason. And if you're here for that reason, then I encourage you to roll up your sleeves, put your hand to the plow as a body, and be busy about the Father's business until He returns. As a church, encourage, provoke one another. Walk in the light, provoke one another. Don't let anyone sneak in and sneak out and not be immersed in the body. Amen? Praise God. So this is to us personally, but also to a church. Okay, so let's hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Let's get rolling here. Here's the very somewhat the beginning. To the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come. Sounds a whole lot like Yahweh, the great I Am. Remember the burning bush? Amen. So grace and peace to you. So the authority by which this letter comes is coming from Papa, from the sevenfold Spirit before His throne. That would be the Holy Spirit. There's some great insights to consider that. One translation would be the seven spirits before the throne. I prefer sevenfold Spirit. We studied that. You can look it up. And from Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He ain't a baby no more. He ain't riding a little donkey no more. He ain't the one who won't snuff out a wick or break a twig. That isn't Him anymore. Amen? He's the risen, ruling, reigning King. Praise God. Amen. We gotta think about that, and we will. Keep going. It says, and to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. Praise God. Who's free from their sin? That would imply to me that we don't live in it no more. Amen? I can choose. Error is one thing, and willfully choosing to go against God is another. That's bad. If you've heard teaching that that's not, we're all just sinners. That's a lie, and we are been free. We are, let's keep reading. It gets better. Freed by His blood, praise God, indeed, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He's come. Let's stop right there for a minute. I know you try not to read, but I want to tell you all that you are a kingdom of priests. From the young lady here to the young man there to that young boy back there in training chewing on his pen to the guy sleeping over there in the corner. It's okay. I've had them sleep in my church too. It's all right. It's when they snore that really, normally I don't say anything until they're snoring. But it's too early to sleep now. I haven't even got rolling yet. But I want to remind us that we are a kingdom of priests. Now some of you are dressed real nice, and we can see that. But all of you, if you are anointed, if you have received Christ, and if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you are wearing garments right now that are far nicer than the best stuff you got in your closet. Amen. We are a royal priesthood when we go to church. And when we're at home. And when we go to work. And when we go to the gym. And when we're walking our dog down the street. We are a kingdom of royal ministers of the gospel. That's who you is. Whether you're paid to do it or you're not paid. Whether you teach Sunday school in the morning or not. This is who you are. This is who God is growing us up into. Wow. You know how amazing that would be if we all got a hold of this? We wouldn't be running to Carrie and say, Carrie, you got to pray for me. We realize Carrie's not the only one who has authority to stand and intercede on your behalf. You can actually do it. You don't have to run up to... You know, I don't know all your names, so don't mean to miss anybody. But you don't have to run up to Elder so-and-so and say, will you please pray for my daughter? She needs to know the Lord. You are a priest. You are a priest of God. Peter said it, you know, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His glorious light. We are so much more than Christians or Baptists or whatever you are. You're so much more than that. We are a royal priesthood. In here, to one another, out there, praise God. So, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. He is coming in the clouds. We're talking about the Lord. And every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the people of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha, the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Lord Almighty. How many are going to... Go back one, please. How many are going to mourn? All the people of the earth. There's going to be a lot of mourning when He comes. The Bible describes the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day. You know what the scariest thing in Revelation is to me? It's not the dragon or the beast or the false prophet or the bowls of wrath. Because those come and go. You die, you're dead. There are people dying, suffering, or going out in their sleep. There's people dying every day. Those things have no power over me on an eternal level. The thing that causes me to tremble is that I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to give an account for every word, every deed. He's going to look at it. How important are deeds? There's a lot of downplaying of deeds. Oh, it's by faith, not by works, so that no man can boast, because I understand that, but believe me, our works matter. Our deeds matter. They don't save us, but man, if we're an apple tree, He's going to come and shake our branches and see if there's an apple hanging on that tree. And if there's not an apple hanging on that tree, progressively more apples hanging on that tree, there's a problem. Amen. So faith without works is dead. Deeds is like the other half of the coin. I believe, therefore I speak, therefore I live. That's why the challenge is, are we believing believers? Do we believe the Word of God? Or do we just know some stuff and do religious things? I want to believe everything in the Word. And I believe He's coming. It's going to be a great and terrible day of the Lord. And all people will weep. I might weep because I'm watching people go to hell. I might weep because the guy who died of drugs up in my house when I was fornicating downstairs didn't reach him. And I'm going to see. And I didn't, my hands are not clean. Paul, I love Paul, passionate Paul, say, my hands are innocent of all men's blood because I have not failed to declare the whole gospel. Right? Didn't he say that? That means I'm a priest, man. I carry life. I am, by God's grace, and you is too, we are God's conduit for what He did on the cross. We're it. And if we don't share it, we're not innocent of men's blood. That's a heavy responsibility. We might weep because of that thing. We might weep because we didn't share the gospel with our classmates, with our coworkers, because we were ashamed or we were afraid of the consequence. I guarantee you we're going to weep for some of that probably. Some of that. We might weep for others who just the horror, oh my God, oh my God. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't think that's going to impact us on some level? I think there's going to be some weeping, some mourning, because we're going to watch the stuff we did thinking it was good, done, and it was all in vanity. And it's going to go poof. And we're going to go, oh. We're going to see clearly. We're not going to bluff our way. We're not going to delude ourselves. We're going to see, and we're going to mourn. I just want to mourn less. I got enough I'm going to mourn for. I want to mourn less. Amen? I want to see as many people as I know having heard the gospel. I want to warn my brothers that sin leads to death. Turn from it. Don't let the twisted grace message keep you bound to your sin. A sinner saved by grace the rest of your life, and face God and say, I never knew you. Worker of iniquity. I don't want my friends, I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to do that no more. Most of my Christian life, this is why I preach the way I do, has been a compromised person who had gifts and was religious. And by God's grace, I'm not completely disqualified to minister today, only by His mercy and grace. So I might talk tough, but I'm a big believer in grace and mercy, God's kindness. Amen? Hallelujah. So every eye will see him and everyone will mourn. Yeah, amen. So he's coming back, glorious king. Next slide. So, King of Righteousness. I want to talk about him. As we look at Revelation in these letters, he gives little glimpses, little aspects of who he is. You know, even the sevenfold Spirit of God. We studied that. It's amazing to think about these attributes of the whole, the character and nature. The great I Am, God Almighty, our Father. It's good to consider. It's good to consider the attributes of who Christ is, his character, his nature. Oh, okay? So, let's look at this King of Righteousness in the intro of the letters, before he gets to the letters, please. So here's John. By the way, who's John? John's the beloved. John's the one who said, son, your mother. Mother, your son. John's the one who laid his head on his breast. John's the one who was his inner three circle man. Saw the transfiguration. Was invited to come and stand with him in prayer in the garden. John is an inner circle, intimate one, the disciple Jesus loved. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. That would be the churches. Amen. Each church has a place, a call, a commission from God that's unique. You need to find yours and you need to be all engaged in and fulfill that call. But we're not talking about that this morning. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, like a Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. That speaks of his righteousness. He's the King of Righteousness. Do you know that the kingdom he's going to rule and reign is a kingdom of righteousness? How much sin do you think is going to be there? Zero. Zero. How much disobedience? How much rebellion? How much darkness? Absolutely none. Let's get used to it. Let's love light. Let's love righteousness. There's another lie. We're going to talk about some lies. But there's another lie that there's righteousness out there, somewhere out there. But here, you know, righteous is as righteous does. Amen? Righteous, man. We progressively learn. Hey, I don't know what I don't know. But I got a Bible, and I know of some good teachers. He was teaching good, and I know he teaches good. There might be others, too. There's stuff online. And I can learn and grow. So I'm going to progressively grow in righteousness. And so we don't know everything, and we're not sinlessly perfect, like we don't ever not fail. But there is a difference between someone who does what they know is right and someone who lives in compromise and willful sin, right? So there's a lie that says you're righteous out here somewhere, but here, you know, we're all just sinners saved by grace, you know. We're coming out of that stuff, right? Truth, truth, truth. There's no duality in the kingdom. We are on this side of eternity and there. Amen. So he is a king of righteousness. That would symbolize there. His head and his hair were white as wool, white as snow. You know, the Bible describes the gray hair on a man as being a crown of splendor. Amen? It describes purity. It describes wisdom, right? With older age, right, sir? You've grown in some wisdom. You probably know some stuff. I'm assuming. You got a lot of gray hair. Okay. I don't mean anything bad. Okay. His eyes were like blazing fire. Okay? God sees and knows all. The secrets of our heart will be exposed. And he is a righteous judge. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace. I pondered that for a while. Obviously, bronze is strong. You know, it doesn't move easily. And I also pondered, you know, that's an alloy. And our God is a triune God. So I thought, that's pretty interesting. That's all for free. But that's our God. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. When you think of rushing waters, we've seen floods lately. When there's rushing waters, everything else moves, man. It comes, it washes, it is unrelenting, it is all-consuming, it is overwhelming, and it's cleansing. Amen? Water is cleansing. So that's an aspect of his nature and character. And out in his right hand, he held seven stars, which are the angels of the churches. Speaks of his authority. He's the head of the church, right? His strength, his power. Amen. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, which would be obviously truth, but it also speaks of the recompense of God. Now, you could switch that with the word judgment. Now, judgment, there's two different... If you're walking in willful transgression, the judgment of God is a scary thing, and it should be. If you're driving and speeding down the road and you see a cop, your heart's going to pound. You're going to go, oh no, especially if it's your third time, or you're drunk, or you shouldn't be driving. Your heart's going to pound. But if you're driving the speed limit and you see a cop, you're going to, oh, protect and serve, officer. Glad you're there, right? Amen. So God's judgment, his recompense, is this impartial reality that he's a just God. Amen. And when we stand before him, we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or we're going to hear something else. Amen. So I want to be on the his truth, man. You'll look in his word. When he speaks, there's power. Amen. The sharp sword that comes out of his mouth, truth, dividing, revealing, and it speaks of his reward and his punishment. Next slide, please. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance, the glory of God's countenance. In other words, he ain't a baby in a manger. He ain't the soft-spoken Jesus. He's the king, the ruling king. That's who we serve now. Amen? Praise the Lord. When I saw him, now God is described as a consuming fire. In your New Testament, by the way. For our God is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." You know, I'm a big believer in the love of God. I'm also a big believer in the fear of God. I think there are two shoes, a left and a right foot. This is for free too. The love of God, we're perfected in his love, right? We're perfected. I want my kids to obey me and serve me and fellowship with me because they love me, right? There's also the fear of God. I want them to obey me when they don't want to because they know that there'll be a consequence, because the only reason I would have a consequence is to protect them and to protect other people. Amen? Because I'm a good father. They don't have to, you know, is dad going to be in a bad mood and wallop me? No. If there's a consequence of punishment, it's going to be to correct their behavior so they don't die or kill somebody else. Right? Amen. So I believe we as believers, how many people always do what's right because you just love God so much? How many people occasionally choose the right path because you're afraid of the consequences Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Because I, being a minister of the gospel, still sometimes choose to do what is right because I don't want the consequence. That's just the fact. So I walk perpetually in the love of God and the fear of God. The love of God and I'm perfected in love. But some would throw out the fear of God. But Jesus walked in the fear of God. And he was God's son. He was God. So the fear of God is pure and holy. So here's, where are we now? Okay, we're still looking at King Jesus. Let's look at this, because this is kind of similar to what's in Revelation, but I wanted to go to Psalm. "I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter." In other words, I want to say one thing. Right now, the invitation, come all who weary and heavy laden, come. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Right now. But when he comes, what does it say? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Yeshua, the Messiah, is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone will bow. But they don't have to now, right? But when he comes, he's going to rule. We better get a hold of this. I want to go like this when he comes. I don't want to be like, you know. I want to go like this when he comes. I don't want to be pulling my hand out of the cookie jar going, Amen. I watched a comedian make a joke about that, and I said, "Dude, you don't know what you're joking about. You don't know what you're joking about, because what you're saying is real, And it won't be funny if that happens to you. It says, you will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned. You rulers of the earth, serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. Let's get into... So we got Yeshua. He knows and he judges our deeds. Again, I want to say, judgment is either your friend, because it involves reward, or it's your worst nightmare, because it involves punishment, conflict. Amen? Let's be on the right side of his recompense. So if even just today, listen, part of my ministry thing is on Facebook, and I get in these little squabbles with people, and some people have degrees. I have no Bible degree, by the way. I'm sorry. Maybe that'll diminish your respect for anything I have to say, but I have no Bible degree, and I'm actually glad, because I don't want to be indoctrinated in doctrines, packages of doctrine by men. So here's this guy I'm talking to, and he's indoctrinated, and he's saying, oh, God doesn't punish, God doesn't judge his church. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? And this guy's edumacated. I love this guy. He's a student of the word, but he's blind to what's plain because of these doctrines. That you Frankenstein this scripture with that scripture and you birth this monster. And so I just give him a bunch of scriptures that, yeah, we're going to stand. And you know what? The ultimate judgment is, are we in Christ or are we not? Now, even there, that's a trick, you know, trick thing. What does being in Christ look like? Well, it's a prayer I prayed. No. You know, it's a church I go to. Wrong again. What does being in Christ look like? Very clear. You know, who is Christ? What's the nature of the Holy Spirit? You know, Paul says, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. You know, I take those kinds of statements real seriously. So we got all these different ideas, but the Lord, now again, we're talking in light of that day when the Lord comes and we stand before him. He will judge his people, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. So judgment starts here, even now, and there's examples in the scripture, we're not going to preach on that today. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes. Of him who must we give an account. Now, what do we give an account for? One, ultimately, are we in Christ, but also for our deeds. Do you know we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works? Do you know that if you've been given a charge as a priest in the earth, he's going to hold you up to that? How well did you do as a priest? Amen? Am I boring anybody yet? How long do I got? At what point, what's the threshold? The maximum threshold here. Because I know this is a sermon after the teaching. Because I said most of you, a lot of you were here during the teaching. Okay, so we're going to give an account for our deeds. This is the heads up. What we've done with his grace. What we've done with his spirit. What we've done with his power. What we've done with this calling. What we've done with this... Amen. We're going to give an account. Up. Too fast, Natalie. Each of us will give account of himself to God. So there's just a few examples of the fact that we are going to stand, we're going to give an account for our life, whether we're gray-haired. You know, if you're still sucking air, there's still something for you to do. Amen? If you're sucking air, find out what God has for you to do and get your hands to it. I'm not telling you it means the bullhorn on the street corner, but God has equipped and fashioned us and given us a grace to serve him. Find out what it is and get busy. It's not too late. You're still sucking air. And if that kid gets a hold of it at his age, praise God, I can't wait to see his reward. Amen. Amen. I wish I got it earlier. Praise the Lord. I wish I didn't create so many works that are going to just go up in smoke. Please turn your eyes. You know, when we're all standing there and all my stuff, just do me a favor, man. Just go, Trent, you warned us. We'll give you a break. Okay. Are you done, Lord? Okay. We love you, Trent. There. Okay, next slide. So here's just an example, and I don't mean to overwhelm you, but the disobedient servant will be beaten with many blows, but the faithful servant will receive well done. The unfaithful shepherds will be cut into pieces. But the faithful shepherds, he's going to serve them. The wicked, lazy servant who's been given a talent, did nothing to it, he's going to have everything he has taken out away from him. He's going to be kicked out. But those who've been faithful will receive more. Which side of judgment do you want to be on? This is his words. They're not my words. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to create drama. I'm just quoting what he says. You can look it up if you don't believe me. The fruitless branches will be cut off and burned in fire, but the fruitful branches will be pruned and become more fruitful. I like the sound of that. The unforgiving servants are handed over to torment, but the merciful will be shown mercy. Amen? Praise God. Next slide. The unworthy works and deeds that we've done will be disqualified. And these are all, I stuck to the words of Jesus, just in case somebody wanted to question if this is a doctrine. But those who have done good works will hear, again, well done, and receive everything he promised to those who have given of themselves for the kingdom. The lawless, the workers of iniquity, are going to be cast into hell. But those who walk in righteousness are going to be entered in. Praise God. I like the sound of that. Those who cause stumbling blocks are, according to Christ, worse off than those who have a stone tied around their neck and thrown in the sea. I say don't stumble people. If you're a brother and you're single, don't stumble a woman. And if you're a single woman, don't stumble a brother. That should put the fear of God in you. Believe this word right there. Don't stumble your brethren. Amen? I think he means what he says. Self-serving, apathetic, and unloving people, what you've done or not done for the least, will face eternal punishment. So if you're just living for yourself and for pleasure and your own deal, even if you're religious, not a good day. But those who gave him a cup, those who went to visit him, those who... you know that some people say, oh, well, the sheep and the goat. A goat does that because it's a goat, and the sheep does that because... No, the point isn't that, and you can disagree or not. The only difference between the sheep and the goat is what it did and didn't do. The sheep represent those who love his people, who love Christ sincerely. The goats represent those who don't. Amen? I want to be, that's what I love, one thing I love about this church and what you guys do. You guys make it a point. Matter of fact, I felt conviction of the Holy Spirit even as I need to love his people more than I am. Next slide. Unprepared, those who are unprepared. There's no oil in their lamps. They don't have the wedding robe on. They're going to be rejected. Amen. Those who do have the right robe on, they are invited. Do you know that everyone invited to that party was the castaways? The good people were already invited. They rejected it. So now they're going to the highways, the byways. It says it was both good and bad people were invited. And the one that he called out, he said, friend, what are you doing? You don't have the right clothes on. Out they went. That seems kind of harsh. Yeah, that's this king of righteousness. He is kind and stern. Make sure you got the robe on. And if you don't know what that robe looks like, have a Bible study. Or come tonight. We're going to talk about it. So we got to make sure. So we're invited in so that we stay in the party. The unfaithful, cowardly, and unbelieving will be disowned and sentenced to the second death. But you know what? The faithful, the believing, those who stand for the gospel and testify, they're welcomed in. Amen. Praise God. So let's get to the next slide. So let's look at him. He's saying to his churches, he's saying, I see your deeds and your works, and I'm either approving or I'm disapproving. So let's look through the letters to Ephesus. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. He likes those things. I know you cannot tolerate wicked men. He likes that. In other words, we got somebody that's part of our assembly who's practicing wickedness. We shouldn't just tolerate it. Is that what it sounds like? Sounds like that to me. Doesn't mean we don't go picket people out there. He's talking about his church. This is a place that is like a little embassy of the kingdom. I know our church is called embassy because it's part of what I really believe. But when we come in here, this place is for the church, right? And in the church, we shouldn't be practicing wickedness, should we? So we shouldn't tolerate it. There are churches, there's movements now that tolerate wickedness. And nowhere, Paul says, expel the immoral brother. You go and you try to snatch him from the fire. And if you don't let him bring that yeast, that leaven into the church. Because bad company corrupts good character faster than good character improves bad company. Is that true? Otherwise, everyone Jesus walked around would be just, woo, instantly, you know, that isn't how it works. So, you don't tolerate wicked men. I approve of that. That you've tested those who claim to be apostles but aren't, and you found them false. And they called them false. We don't want to, touch not the Lord's prophets, you know. We don't want to call anybody as a heretic or a false teacher or presenting garbage doctrines. But there are garbage doctrines, and there are false apostles, and there are false prophets, and they need to be called out, and we need to warn the brothers about it. Amen? He approved of that kind of behavior. It's not judgmental. It's not unchristlike. It's for the love of the sheep you do that. You've persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Good job. Yet I hold this against you, he says. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do those things you did. You know the wonderful thing? He said repent, but he gives them a path to restoration. Amen? So repent and do those things you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. You know what that means? It means you're going to become nothing more than a dead religious meeting. And my call, my purpose on your life, on that fellowship will be revoked, and you'll be just playing religious games. Who wants to be that kind of church? There's a lot of them out there, by the way. There's a lot of them out there, by the way. Not this place, right, Carrie? Amen. Amen. Come and talk to them, man. You see some stuff. But you know what's wonderful is I think that this is a loving church. You know, that word of love is agape love. Man, that's the expression of God's love. You know what people that walk in love do? They preach the gospel. They go and help the poor. They take care of one another, right? Do it. I encourage you, study that and grow, because everything we're doing, we could do better. Amen? So if you're already a loving church that doesn't tolerate and practice and enduring, keep it up. Amen? Keep doing more. And you know what? Let's help other churches do that too. The other thing I want you to think about as a minister of the gospel is not just your own personal well-being, not just your own personal, how am I doing with it? Think of brothers and sisters you know who need to be provoked to love and good works. Think of people you know who are caught up in funky doctrine, funky movements, who aren't loving. They're just religious. Amen? And draw them in, because you know what? You're a minister. Amen. Next slide. So he says to Smyrna, one thing I like about Smyrna is that this is the one of two churches that he had nothing negative to say about. He said, I know your afflictions and your poverty, but you are rich. In other words, everybody else thinks you're broke and forsaken, but you're rich in what matters. I like Smyrna. He says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Does God promise us a bed of roses? Does he promise us no troubles, no hardships? Is God deserted them? Jesus didn't say, I'm going to ride in and I'm going to keep you from this suffering. No, he says, hang on, endure, persevere. Amen? That's his word of encouragement to a church that was doing well and rich. But they were going to suffer some stuff, and he wasn't going to keep them from it. So don't get mad at God. There's something in here for you. You know, it's to give him glory. It's to stand and say, you reject Christ, or I'm going to cut off your head. I won't reject Christ, said the 8-year-old little girl. The 8-year-old little boy that they nailed to a cross recently. I think he was 8 or 12. I just marvel. I just go, oh God, by your grace, help me to be that brave to stand for you. So he didn't, but they were a testimony. Amen? So be willing. You're his. Be willing to be a testimony. Next slide, please. He says to Pergamum, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. And you think, oh man, what a wicked city. You know, there's a city. The devil isn't always pitchforks and fire. Sometimes the devil comes as an angel of light. That's the scariest place, is opulence and I'll give you the whole world if you'll bow down and follow me. We got more of that expression of the devil and Satan's throne than we do, you know, the kind of stuff, you know. They're both a temptation, you know, where Satan has his throne, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Amen? So don't think of Satan having his throne just as a place where they put saints into a big brass bull and light a fire under it and burn them alive for their pleasure, like they did Antipas, and put little pipes in there so that as they scream, that it makes this dull sound as people are tortured in that thing. That's how he died, according to what I read. So it's not just wickedness like that. Some of it's the world on a silver platter. Who owns this world? I know ultimately God, but right now, who's the prince of the power of the air? Right. Let's not forget. So, next slide, please. Nevertheless, so they're standing well in some regards. I have these things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice Israel to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. Man, I'm telling you, there's more idol worship in America and in the churches of God than you realize, because they're not all little Buddhas and they're not all crystals. There's a lot of things that qualify as idolatry and idols, and they're more stealthy, which again makes them more dangerous. So there's teachings that entice people to commit idolatry, which is more than just eating food. I'll tell you one thing, monster drinks, 666, that product is dedicated to the devil, the beast. It's been dedicated. We can laugh at it and go, I would never drink another monster drink as long as I live. 666, little cross, hold upside down, little upside down cross on it. There are things that are dedicated to demons. And yet we have this idea that nothing's offensive to God. There are things I could do that would offend my wife. I'll show you one right now. No, I won't. But there are things that offend God. Why do I want to go partake of something that glorifies a demon or darkness and go, oh, it's okay? It's not okay. Let our sensitivity to that which is pure and pleasing to God, and that which isn't, let it grow. Amen? So there's a lot of idolatry and things that are displeasing, and it's not okay, and sexual immorality is not okay. Matter of fact, all through your book, to the very end, we'll read it. Sexually immoral people that practice that are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. I don't know. I didn't write the book. Flee from sexual immorality. We shouldn't do it. That means lust in our heart. Porn, turn it off. Because if you may not be good looking enough or have enough money to do it in real life, but God looks at our heart. Amen? So that's sexual immorality. We've got to turn from it. We got it right now. Right now. So it's not okay. We're not sinners saved by grace. We've been freed from sin. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Well, that's a whole controllers of men. That's a system of religiousness that is repulsive to God. There's one Lord of the church. Amen? Amen. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Who wants the Lord? You know everything he created with his words? Oh, he's just going to speak, you know, he might speak a harsh word. We're talking about a God who said, let there be light, and suns exploded across what we understand to be the universe, right? You want him to come against you with the sword of his mouth? No! Sounds like a church split coming too, actually. I believe in church splits. I do. I believe that we need to choose this day who we're going to serve God. You know, if Kerry starts getting wacky, come up, pray for him. Come up and speak the truth. But if he's going to go in some wacky way, you can't follow him. You got to follow the Lord. Right? Right, Kerry? Amen. Next slide. I know I say that because I don't believe Kerry's going to... Amen. So what does he say to Thyatira? I know your deeds, your love and your faith, your service, your perseverance. He looks for those things. How are you doing with your love and your faith? How are you doing in service? Are you serving or do you just come and consume everywhere you go? The Lord came to give. He's a giver, generous giver of his. He came not to be served, but to serve. Again, what take what applies and help others with what applies to them. I know your deed, your love, your faith, your servants, your perseverance, that you're now doing more than you did at first. Good job. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate, again, tolerate. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into, again, sexual immorality and partaking of idolatry. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Oh, wow. Jesus, don't say that out loud. Man, somebody might get the wrong idea about you. No, they might get the very right idea. He's a holy God. Remember Ananias and that lying to... Thank God he doesn't do that as often as, you know, we see this one story, great fear, and people got saved, praise God, because a holy God, they came and lied to the Holy Spirit, and for whatever reason at that time, God said, ain't going to settle for that. Boom, drop dead. How many... Thank God he's not doing that today. I wouldn't be standing here probably. Think back of Paul. He said, many of you are sick, weak, and some have died because you're not honoring the body. And the Lord is judging you so you won't come under judgment with the... So does the Lord punish his kids? Absolutely. But he's also merciful. Look, he's given him so much time to repent and he's given him a warning, one last warning. So he says, I'll make her suffer and I'll strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the heart and mind. Then I will repay each one of you according to his deeds. He's a holy God. Have we got that? Amen. Our life is before him. He sees everything. He says to Sardis, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wow, how would you like the Lord to say, you're dead? You know that word dead means corpse? It doesn't mean sleeping. It means corpse, rotting corpse. He says, you are a rotting corpse. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. So there's an aspect of it that's still alive. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. That doesn't sound like well done. If they don't repent, it's not going to be a good day. He says, remember therefore what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Man, I want to be watching. You know, Jesus says, be dressed, ready, watching, ready to move, ready to go. That's what he said multiple times. He says, watch, watch. How can we watch when we're so consumed by the world? We're consumed with our own life. Amen? We got to be watching. We got to be awake. We've got to be alert. You know what brings death? You know what brings death? The Bible says that if we walk according to the flesh, we will die. Right? Romans chapter 8. If we live according to the flesh, we'll die. But if we live according to the Spirit, we live. And more life, and more life, and more. And death is more death and more death until your heart becomes so hard, you don't even care. Amen? So what killed this church? I would say sin killed this church. Amen? So we don't want to tolerate stuff. We don't want to let it take root. And then all that's left is this remnant, this few within the church. I would hate to be the few within a church trying to wake up a dead church, man. That would be hard. Amen. But fortunately, this isn't your problem. But there are some who are. Amen. And you know some, don't you? Yeah. That's right, you do. He said, if you don't wake up, I will come like a thief. Man, he said we should be knowing the signs. We're not going to know the day or the hour, but we'll know the signs. Not supposed to catch us like a thief in the night. Not supposed to catch us unprepared and unaware. Okay, next slide. Philadelphia. I like this one. This is the second church he had nothing negative to say. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have a little strength. Is it a sin to have a little strength? Doesn't look like it. He says, acknowledge, man, you guys have been serving and working and you're wiped out. I know you have a little strength, yet you've kept my word. You've not denied my name. We're talking about churches that are suffering persecution, life and death persecution, confiscation of property. We should be bold in sharing the gospel. It doesn't cost us nothing, does it? Really? Someone doesn't like us anymore? So what? Oh, I could lose my job. For the kingdom, praise God. Be wise, but if you're not sharing, because God will give you wisdom how to share in your job. Say, hey, you know, if somebody wants to talk to you about religious stuff and you know you're not supposed to, say, hey, I want to honor my boss because the Bible says, you know, work is unto the Lord. But if you want to talk about God, that's what I live for. Let's go to lunch today. Right? There's a way to do it if we're smart. Praise God. So these guys were bold even though it cost them. And he says, you've not denied my name. And he says, since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I will. You know, this is the other thing. I want to encourage us. We got to be a people that endure. I see Christians fall out for nothing. They're doing well with the Lord. A pretty girl comes along. All of a sudden, boom, they're gone. They're falling out. They're in sin. They're doing their thing. They're going along. Somebody invites them to go get drunk. They're gone. They get sucked back. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, not just for them, but for the church, because we need every man, amen, and women. I just watched a guy. He and his wife are getting divorced, and he's a Christian guy, and he won't quit doing drugs. He won't quit drinking and getting drunk. He won't just say no to his flesh and say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to serve you. What did Jesus do to overcome his flesh? He cried out to the Lord with tears to the one that could save him from death. It wasn't easy being Jesus. He had the same flesh that we carry around. He was a single man. He was let go, disappointed, backstabbed, tired. He went through everything. He was tempted in all ways without sin. And you know how he did it? On his knees before the Father. That's how he did it. He did it the same way we're going to do it starting today. By the Holy Spirit. He did it the same way he's equipped us to do it. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's absolute gospel truth. So he says, you've endured. So let's endure. Let's not fall out. Let's not let our love end when some jerk cuts in front of us on the road. Let's not let our love end when you know what I'm saying? When Mark looks at you wrong. You know, Mark looked at me wrong. All of a sudden, man, the love for the brethren just died. Don't give Mark that much power. God put Mark here in this church as a test and as a weight for us to grow in learning how to love those that are hard to love. Amen? And he softened him up with that beautiful wife of his. Okay. So let's not fall out. Let's endure patiently, because it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promise. Faith and patience. Got to have it. I will keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come and test all mankind. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one may take your crown. Don't let anyone take your crown. Next slide, please. Laodicea. Uh-oh. Laodicea. I know this is the one church he had nothing good to say. This one, and I think it was Sardis, the other one that was dead, they didn't have much good going on for them. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. In other words, they are wealthy and arrogant. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and shamefully naked. This is Jesus talking to the world. Right? No! He's talking to his church. who are meant to be a kingdom of priests. Amen? And he's saying, you are pitiful, wretched, poor, blind, and shamefully naked. Oh, Jesus, does every prophecy is, oh, you're his favorite, and every dream is going to come true. And that's how he talks to his kids. No, that's a lie. If he tells you you're pitiful, wretched, blind, that's where you go, oh, I'm exposed, Lord, forgive me. That's not the time to argue with the Lord and tell him how good you are. Or how that's not the right doctrine, Lord. That's a time you repent. What does the Holy Spirit do? He brings conviction with regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He convicts us of sin, what is righteous, and that there is judgment, which again is not always bad. It's good news too. Judgment is rewards for some. He says, because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. Vomit would be another word. Those whom I love. Now, this is what's encouraging. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And repent. So when God says a word like that, it's love. It's love. Because he's a righteous, truth-talking God. Amen? I love his rebuke. Because there's no shame in it. Like, oh, Father, thank you. I wasn't aware that that was offensive. I wasn't aware. Thank you. How many people love the Lord's rebuke? Oh, man. I hope you learn to love it because it'll save your soul and it'll help you be fruitful. Next slide. So I just this last is just looking at his rewards for the overcoming, for the faithful. I want you to look for these words in what we're about to read. We're just going to read through, be encouraged, and then woohoo, get out of here. Look for these words. He rewards his faithful. Who wants to be faithful? Amen. You can do it by his Spirit. Who wants to be obedient? Praise God. Woo! Do you know that there's a manner of life that's worthy of the gospel and there's a manner of life that is not worthy, right? I want to live worthy. And he uses that word, by the way. And I want to be an overcomer. The Lord said, all men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm or overcomes to the end will be saved. You know who he was talking to? His 12. He was talking to his disciples. We're going to overcome to the end. Amen? Don't stop short of the prize. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Our deeds are important. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So here's his promises to each of the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Who likes fruit? I guarantee you the most yummy thing you've ever had will pale in comparison to that fruit. Amen. And there's no place you've ever been that will compare with the paradise of God. I like that promise. I'm going to overcome. Be faithful even to the point of faithful. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Sounds like a good promise to me. Let's be faithful, let's overcome. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. You might go, a white stone? You know, do you know there are rocks that are worth millions of dollars? Rocks! How much do you think a rock from heaven is worth? Put it this way, we're going to be walking on gold, right? How valuable is this rock with your name on it compared to the gold you're walking on? Probably pretty precious, amen? And a new name? Man, that sounds good. Hidden manna? I want to feast on some manna. Sounds good to me. Praise God. Next slide. By the way, there are deeper... We're not even touching what these things really mean. If it stirs you, study it. Study it out. There's exciting stuff in there. To him who overcomes and does my will. Sounds like obedience, doesn't it? To him who overcomes and does my will. So we've seen faithfulness, obedience, overcoming. To the end, he who endures to the end will be saved. I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will give him the morning star. I would rather rule and reign with Christ. I'm sorry. Does that make me prideful? I would rather rule and reign with Christ, whatever that looks like, than not receive that honor. If you want to shoot low and just, I'd just be glad to get in there. Well, good. But God's given you something you could shoot higher. Amen? Shoot higher. Who wants to retire in a little shack no running water? That's a low goal for retirement. Who wants to retire with enough money to travel in your Winnebago and go, I'm just putting it in a natural, nobody here in their life goes, I just want to get through life and then just barely exist my final days. No, we're talking eternity. I want to work hard for the Lord, serve Him with all my heart, overcome, here, well done, good and faithful. Come on, boy, let's rule and reign together. That's what I want. I want you to want it too. Amen. So, I have a few in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. Amen. There's a few in that church that were doing okay. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. I want to be found worthy by His standard. I might be more worthy than some of you, certainly more than Mark. I might be more worthy than some of you. I'm just kidding. No, he's my friend. I can pick on him. But that's not the comparison. Those who are worthy are going to be deemed worthy by the one who is the judge to deem worthy. So he says, they have not soiled their clothes. That means they've walked purely with the Lord. Amen. They the white robes mean something else too, but we won't go into that. They will walk with me dressed in white. I want that robe, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will be like them dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, and I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. How many people want the Lord to say, this is my brother? My brother Kerry. Dad, he's good. He's been faithful. He's been obedient. See? My robes are on him. Those who deny him, on the other hand, he's going to deny. Right? Can't do that. Next slide. To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down from heaven, from God. And I will also write my new name on him. You know what makes a portrait valuable? Is the signature of the artist, you know? It's beautiful. There's some stuff that's worth a lot of money that really, I if it didn't have that guy's name on it, I wouldn't hang it in my wall. Let's put it that way. You know, God is putting his mark on us. Anybody see Toy Story? Remember how happy the Woody was that Andy wrote on his shoe? Yeah. Andy? He's going to write his name on us. This is mine forever. Praise God. I want that. That may not be that important to you, but I like the sound of that. To him who overcomes, I will give the right. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. How intimate can you be? You know, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. We can get up on his throne with him. He won everything. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How many people liked getting up on your dad's lap and driving the truck when you were just a little guy? You ever done that? Wasn't that a thrill? Nothing by comparison to getting up on the throne of the King of Glory. Praise God. Intimacy. Praise God. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Last scripture. Revelation 21. This is the end of the book. I don't mean to go with a downer, but this is just the fact. It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who's thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who overcome will inherit all this. He's describing stuff. Look it up in context. You will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts or pharmakia would be the word, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the lake of fiery sulfur. So he's coming as a king and as a righteous judge. Are we braced and ready? Are we preparing ourselves to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Are our deeds complete in His sight? Amen. Are we doing this well, but we could do this better? Are we doing this which is displeasing to Him and we should run and turn from it right away? Let there be no mistake. If God hates it, we should hate it too. Amen? If God hates it, we should drop it as quick as we can. And if we need help, come and receive prayer. Amen? Because He ain't messing around. When He comes, the day of salvation as it is, this merciful, you know, follow me if you will, if you don't, you know, choose this, you know. That invitation ends at some point, and we stand before Him. Let's prepare ourselves for that. Not just us, let's prepare this house to fulfill every purpose that God has for it in Blue Lake. Let's help our brethren who don't get it, who are living in some, you know, delusion or falsehood or sin that will lead them to death. Let's be that royal priesthood. When we leave this place, don't leave your robe hanging on that hook. Take it with you all the time. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, Lord. It's powerful, it's life-changing, it's convicting, but I love it, Lord. Even as I speak, Father, I'm convicted. I know. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. I don't want to abuse it, Lord God. I thank You for Your kindness that leads us to repentance. I thank You, Lord, for the hope that You hold out. I thank You, Lord, for the promises. I thank You, Lord, that You've given us things that for the joy set before us, that we can endure our cross and make it to the finish line and hear, well done, to receive the rock, to receive the manna, to eat from the tree, to be in the paradise, to receive the morning star. Hallelujah. To hold Your righteous staff, to sit upon Your throne, to have Your name written upon us, to be a pillar in Your house and never have to leave it again. I love every one of those promises and I want them. Hallelujah. And the only thing hindering me is me. Am I going to be obedient, faithful, overcoming? Am I going to live worthy? Lord, help us to do that by Your grace. Holy Spirit, help us from glory to glory in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Something I had to share with the church was kind of difficult. He said, brother, if you don't share some things that upset me,